is my great and somewhat strange honor to welcome as my first guest today, Stephen Haas. Because, Stephen, I don't know if I met you as a young child or an infant, because I certainly knew both of your parents before you were born.
Yeah, we may have met. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I may have touched your mom, Sally Edwards' tummy when she said, look, we're having a baby.
You were the one. I remember that.
Oh, there had to be more than one. She lived in the wide world of comedy, as do you. Stephen Haas is a performer, a writer, a television maker, a video maker, a talented stand-up who just finished a few days at Zany's, which is basically a place you grew up, because your dad, Bert Haas, has been working at Zany's since 1980, managing the Zany's empire now. Your mom, Sally Edwards, is a talented stand-up. How could they even let you get into the stupid business?
That's a good
Stephen?
Question.
I know. I've asked your father that question.
I don't know. They've been supportive, but yeah, I want to ask. We should have brought them with.
I'll ask him. I did ask him at one point, because your brother and sister are studying these sort of rarefied things. We'll get into that too. But what's your first memory of Zany's? Did they bring you there as a child?
Not too much. I didn't grow up in the back of the showroom watching all the shows or anything like that. But I do remember the Vernon Hills Club, or I think maybe the Mount Prospect Club, being in the green room and the office, and sometimes they would have to take us with to work.
Was there any sense, was there something romantic about it? I remember my father was a newspaper man taking me into the old city room at the Daily News and the Sun Times, and I have incredibly fond memories of it. Is that, did it, something get under your skin at that time or no?
Maybe. If it did, then it's probably at a subconscious level.
Or maybe you would just have to be older to realize what's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to be my age to realize it. When then did you decide? Yeah, you went to Columbia College here in Chicago to study film production.
Yeah, and I always been writing comedy. I knew I wanted to write comedy.
Why?
About high school.
Why?
I was really sick of making jokes and then having to go, that was a joke. And then everyone go, oh, that was a joke.
Well, your dad said, when I interviewed him sometime.
Okay, that's ought to be good.
He says that he has never had an urge to perform, ever.
Yeah.
And he would come home, and there's probably no living person who has heard more jokes than Bert Haas. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's probably true.
He said that when I interviewed him about starting a comedy school down there, he said about you, he was always funny. He understood joke structure when he was three. Now, that's just got to be a proud dad going nuts, right? You can't understand joke structure at three, could you?
I can't think of any examples, but yeah, I don't know. That's a very nice quote. I hope that's true.
Well, were you, as a kid, were you a class clown?
No, I'm very quiet. I would make jokes in the back of the class, but yeah, most of the time people didn't really know that they were jokes. And, yeah, very quiet.
When you decided, I suppose, when you go to college in Columbia and you decide to stay here and get into film production, was it the notion of making Forrest Gump or Citizen Kane or making comedy?
Oh, just comedy. I grew up with The Simpsons. I've probably watched every, you know, Simpsons episode
many
times. And, yeah, just always comedy writing. I knew I wanted to write comedy. And then stand-up is just another medium for comedy writing.
You've had some success as a screenwriter, haven't you?
A little bit, not
well,
too much.
You won an award. Well, you won an award.
Yeah.
What's the art of writing comedy?
Man, that's a...
That's what I'm known for, tough questions. That's what I'm known for.
I love that. What's the art of writing comedy? I think it just as simple, funny, try to make it cut out as many words as you can and just, you know, make it funny. It's hard to describe.
Yeah,
I remember I heard a great interview with Woody Allen where I think he sums it up where you can't trace the genesis of a joke is how he said it. And I think that's so true, is when you think of a joke, whether it's stand-up or screenwriting, like you laugh when you think of it because you just heard it for the first time.
Huh.
And I don't know, he said, and I agree with that, there's really no way to figure out how it popped into your head.
In the writing and trying to conceptualize jokes for film and or television, it's a vastly different thing than trying to write and conceptualize for the stage and for stand-up. When do you feel that transition happening, when you feel bold enough to say, yeah, I'm going to get up in front of a crowd, even at my dad's club, and perform live? What's that transition all about?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it was just I really wanted to try out some jokes. I remember I tried them out at open mics. I didn't go to Zany's right away. But, yeah, I remember the first time I had some jokes and I really wanted to try them. I walked to the open mic, and then I walked home. I didn't even go in the building, and I was like, that was good. That was pretty good. I got to the building, and then the second week, I went back, and I did a lap around the building, and then I went home.
Was it insecurity or fear?
Yeah. Fear? It's terrifying to try stand-up for the first time.
I have heard that. I have never done it either, but I've covered comedy for years, very intensely in the 80s when Zany's was taking off. And you are stripped naked emotionally in every other way when you're on that stage, aren't you?
It's a very vulnerable experience, and it can be really tough.
We got to take a break. I'm here for another half hour with Stephen Haas, who in many ways won a sort of genetic pool. His dad is probably heard more jokes than any living human being. He is Bert Haas, the manager of the Zany's Empire, and a guy who's worked at that club since 1980, when people didn't even know what stand-up was. He worked for the great Rick Uod, and his mom is Sally Edwards, who herself was a very talented, may still be, I don't know, if your mom's still performing?
She does shows occasionally.
I haven't seen her enough. I remember seeing her a lot.
I should have brought them with.
On the stage at Zany's. We could have a comedy fest here. The next time I fill in for John, we'll have the entire Haas gang, including your older brother, Brendan, who studied, has a PhD in astrophysics. Go figure. Go figure. My guest is Stephen Haas, a stand-up comic, filmmaker, TV maker, and many other things. We were just talking about his first experience with stand-up and getting up on stage. And it's interesting, that song, I didn't play it on purpose, but, you know, comics have forever talked about dying on stage when a joke goes flat or a routine doesn't work. Okay, you have told us about going to an open mic thing, going to the building, walking home, going back to the building, walking around the building. What was it like, Stephen Haas, when you first got up on stage and did a stand-up routine?
My experience with it, and I've had other people tell me they had the same experience, was the first time went very well. Very well. And then you're like, wow, that went a lot better than I was expecting. And then it goes not well for a long time after that.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. But I've heard a lot of people say that. They go the first time, maybe it's because you're just like so amped up on adrenaline, but
it went
surprisingly well.
Let's address that whole thing, that whole notion. You hear it from every comic. I mean, they'll walk off the stage and say, you know, I died up there. Is it like some kind of little death? I mean, is it when you really bomb? And I'm not saying you ever have, Stephen Haas. When you've seen other comic friends bomb, it must be a terribly emotional kind of experience. You must feel every ounce of your insecurity.
Yeah, it can be. It's very discouraging. Even if a joke doesn't work and there's that silence afterwards, there's a lot of thinking. You have a lot to think about on the way home.
Let me ask you now. I mean, you've been a host at Zany's, and it's not nepotism, even though your dad runs the Zany's empire with Rick Uot's wife, his widow, Rick Uot, the guy who started Zany's in an era when there was no stand-up. You saw and have seen a lot of acts come and go through a lot of different rooms. You now live in L.A. Who have been... You mentioned Woody Allen as a filmmaking influence, I would think. What about a guy like Mel Brooks?
Wait, as a stand-up influence?
As an influence. As an influence in comedy in general.
That's interesting. I haven't... not one of mine personally, honestly. I haven't watched too much Mel Brooks. My dad loves Mel Brooks.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
So do I.
And unfortunately, he's when you just never...
Oh, in the stand-up world, then.
Yeah.
I'm from the era when you've opened for my old friend Emo Phillips. Who is coming back. He is as distinctive. It's impossible to describe Emo's act, I think. He's coming to Zany's in a little while. You can go to Zany's.com or Zany's Comedy Club, blah, blah, .com. You can find it. You can also go to Stephen Haas, comedian.com, which is a nice website. It's got a lot of clips of you.
It's got some of my work on there. Yeah,
it
check
does.
It out.
It has a lot of your work up there. I'm going to have you after the news break at the half hour do if you would, if you can do it. You're not going to bomb here. You're not going to die here. Do a couple minutes of your act.
Okay.
Because one of the things that distinguishes your act is it is touted as clean comedy. What does that mean?
It's there's no, you know,
profanity
or any topics that might make people uncomfortable. It's all observational, autobiographical, and so I guess it just doesn't skew too dirty.
Well, so I've got to think that people like Jay Leno and Jerry Seinfeld as stand-ups might be influence of your... I've never seen either of those guys work blue, as they say.
Yeah, Brian Regan, those kind of people, definitely huge influences.
Don't you find, though, as I did, when the crowds that come to comedy clubs over the years are predisposed. They're predisposed to have a good time. So in some sense, you have the crowd in the palm of your hand the minute they walk in. But don't you find a lot of them are eager for, or, you know, there are certain words that even used in a bad joke, bad words, will make people laugh. And I find that the sort of cheapest kind of form of humor. Do you?
I don't want to, you know,
no,
trash any of that, but yeah, it can definitely be a crutch, I think.
Yeah,
and when I was starting out, I just watching open mics, you can see people who use it as a crutch, and it's something that I think can be avoided if you specifically try not to do it.
Before we get into your performance, which will be in a few minutes after the news,
do we have a laugh track we're going to add to this? Or?
We'll laugh in here. Everybody will laugh in here. We'll get all the other producers in here to laugh it up. And it's such a joy for me to be working with the woman who taught me so much about radio, L.F. Garris, who is John's producer. And before that was my producer. And now she has regular hours and a much tougher job. What's your aspiration? Do you want to make films? You know, the old route years ago when your dad and I were hanging out at Zany's all the time, it was, okay, let me get a good 7 minutes, then I can get on Johnny Carson, then I can get a TV show. That doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately, not too much. Yeah, I think my opinion on it, which is sort of, I guess, I think everyone in the entertainment industry has their own strategy that they're trying to employ, but I think that auteur is sort of where it's going. You have to be able to do everything. You have to be a filmmaker, a performer, actor. You have to know how to edit. You have to know all this stuff. And I'm definitely trying to do that, produce my own work. Stand-up is just one aspect of that.
You're a good guy. Go to Stephen with a V, Stephen Haas, H-A-A-S, comedian.com to get some samples. Or just stay tuned to get a live sample. I know he's going nuts. He's sweating. He's going to leave the studio.
I got to write some jokes.
Welcome back. This is Rick Kogan filling in for John Williams, and I have a few more minutes with Stephen Haas, a talented young, not only a stand-up, but a filmmaker and a television maker and a video maker, and you can see his oeuvre at StephenHaasComedian.com, and do take a look. It's a nice website, Stephen.
Oh, thank you.
I promised you, well, he has an older brother who has a PhD in astrophysics. He has a younger sister, Christine, who has a degree in architecture, and his wonderful parents, Bert Haas, the manager of the Zany's Empire, and his wife, Sally Edwards, a talented comedian in her own right, have the black sheep of the family in you, but I know they're really proud of you, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. No, they're great parents.
Yeah, and they're very supportive, too. That's another thing. You cannot be in the business you're in without the support of your family. Would you give this wonderful WGN audience a couple minutes? I know this is a difficult thing because you're a stand-up and now you're sitting, among other things, and you don't perform with headphones on.
Not usually, no.
But you do perform into a mic. Could you give just a small sample of Stephen Haas comedy?
Sure. One thing I like to talk about, I got a new dentist, and I think this is really interesting because my new dentist is my age, and I think that's terrifying. He looks like me. He looks like he's in his late 20s. Immediately, he walked in. I was just like, you got to go find an adult. Get your dad. I don't care if he's a dentist. Just get someone else in here. My new dentist's name is Tyler. No, thanks. That's okay. I'll take a Charles. I'll take an Edward. I'll take an old school name. I'm not doing... That's a class action lawsuit. I don't really want to be a part of Tyler, the millennial dentist. You know, I don't know what that's going to be like. This root canal is lit. That's no thanks. I'll pass on that one. But yeah, it's good to be back. I always stay with my parents when I get back here. My mom, right now, she talks about wanting to retire. That's what she likes to talk about. And it's hard for me to talk to her about that, just because I thought she was retired. And so I don't know what to say. She is on my mom. If you want to get an idea of my mom's life, just in case you're curious, she spent a Tuesday signing me up for The Bachelorette. That was her Tuesday. Yeah. I didn't know you could sign other people up. She just came in my room and she goes, "Steven, I think I'm going to sign you up for The Bachelorette." And I said, "Please do not do that." She goes, "I did it yesterday." I was like, "I'm glad we had this discussion, Mom. This is good. I think I'll probably be the first contestant on the show to get dropped off in a minivan."
Pretty, Steven, you use, obviously, how often do you use your parents in any of your routines?
Only when they're listening to me on the radio.
They have seen you perform, I would assume, in a number of times. Do Bert and Sally, do they give you advice, or are they kind of hands-off? Because, again, I said, your dad has probably heard more jokes than almost any living human being, having worked at Zany since 1980 and run it for many years. Do they give you advice, or are they supportive in a way, go find your own way?
It's, I think, a mix of both. Sometimes they'll give advice, but they're just very supportive. But when, yeah, they do give some. If they notice something, if my mom's notices something, I used to have this habit when I first started out where I would sway on stage, you know, almost like when someone is like holding a baby and they sway back and forth. Yeah. And I don't know why I did that, but thankfully my mom was the one who told me I was swaying on, like, that sort of stuff. They'll chime in when they notice something.
Steven Haas, I've known your parents forever. I've known Zany's forever, and it is an absolute pleasure to meet you. I think you're smart, and you think, you're a thinking comic, and that's part of it. Yeah, you do. You do, and you are. Ladies and gentlemen, go to Steven Haas, H-A-A-S, comedian.com, and you will get some more of his comedy in a variety of different ways, in video, and in audio. Steven, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, thank you. It was great to be on.
Come back the next time when you've got a big movie. You say, "Oh, I don't do John Williams show, even with Rick Hogan."